Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sisters and brothers, in the Bible and in the New Testament, it matters a lot who the subject of the verb is. And it's important to get the subject right. It's very important to get the subject of the verb right. Now, I'm pretty sure that's not the most captivating opening sentence that you've ever heard in a sermon, and I don't think actually I would ever begin a regular sermon that way unless I was the guest preacher for the Reformation 500 service at the Lutheran Church of St. James the Grammarian. On the other hand, this is a seminary community, and we do think about language and meaning quite a bit here, and we've only a few minutes, and I need to get right to it. So, it's important to get the subject of the verb right. Now, I say this because there is an overarching verb in Matthew chapter 13. It's kind of woven through the chapter in many and various ways. Interestingly, the verb is not ever explicitly there, but it's never absent. For you summer mighty men and women of Greek valor, it's the verb basileuein. By the way, that's the present infinitive active. And in English, it's the verb to reign, to rule, to be and act like a king, like the king. All of Jesus' parables, except for that little tiny short one at the very end, are about this question: what is it like when God comes down into the world in Jesus to be king, to rule, to reign? What is the reign of heaven like? Now, there's two ways to lose your bearings here. The first would be actually to make the mistake of making ourselves the subject of the verb, as if Jesus' parables here, the sower, the wheat, the weeds, the mustard seed, the leaven, and then hidden treasure, pearl, and dragnet, as if these parables had us as the subject of the verb. We're not. It's God's reign. Jesus is bringing it. In the first and utterly most important place, these parables are about what God has done, is doing, and will do in Jesus. So don't lose your bearings in Matthew 13. Make sure you have the right subject. Make sure it's about what Jesus is doing. Now, the second way to lose your bearings is this: to think that when God is king and when Jesus comes to reign, that he'll do it in a way that you think is normal or expected. The answer is no, he won't. The sower, in fact, is wasteful, inefficient, and even foolish because he flings expensive seed everywhere, and most of it never bears fruit. Weeds are allowed to grow up with the wheat. There is no room in Jesus' reign for the concept of collateral damage. Jesus' reign is tiny, insignificant, overlooked by the great powers of the world like a tiny mustard seed, like a little bit of yeast in 10 gallons of dough. The reign of God is not normal. In fact, it's like a man who sort of loses his head. He loses his bearings when it comes to the matter of personal finance. Now, he did it for the sheer joy of it. He did it because he became so consumed with the hunt that when he found what he was looking for, he acted foolishly. There is no diversified portfolio here. He didn't just put all of his eggs in one basket. He put the chickens and the coop and everything else in there. Everything he had. Everything that he had. He used it all to buy the field because of the treasure. He used it all to make the pearl his own. Now, nobody does that. And if you take Financial Peace University, we will teach you not to do that. And FPU will be right for quite a number of reasons, but mostly they'll be right because you and I are not the subject of the verb. I'm not reigning. Jesus was and is and will be. In the Christian life, discouragement comes in various shapes and sizes and amounts. See, different people have sunnier or gloomier personalities, of course. That changes how you experience things. For some people, objective circumstances are just plain more difficult, and some people have it easier. But sooner or later, discouragement comes because we're still waiting. We're still waiting for Jesus to be the last subject of the final verb. So while we wait, the question is, where can we find encouragement? Different places, but one of the best is for God to help us to keep the subject of the verb right. You see, Jesus found you like a treasure hidden in a field. And you're thinking, if you have any wits about you at all, me? I don't deserve to be regarded as a treasure. And you're right, you don't deserve it. But you are Christ's treasure. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called amazing. If you like to think of it as an alien value, then if that makes it easier for you, that's fine. But the good news is that Jesus found you and he rejoiced. And then he went and then he put it all in one place, everything he had. He let it all go and he emptied himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And he bought you. He put everything to one purpose. He bought the whole field. When the discouragement comes, let this encourage you. You see, Jesus looked for you. He looked for you intently like a merchant who knew what he wanted. And when he found you, for you were what he wanted, you were like a fine pearl to him. And if you have your wits about you, you're thinking, wait, me? And the answer is yes. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's amazing. And then Jesus went and he spent it all. Nothing was left. He cried out with a great cry and he released his spirit and he bought you. When you get discouraged, remember, Jesus sought, found, bought you, and nothing can change that. Let that encourage you. And then, of course, God raised him from the dead. Yes, he did. And that means that the reign of the risen Jesus goes on, and it's like a net that's slowly being filled with all manner of fish. And when the time is right, God will put all things right. Until then, we live and serve and we get discouraged and we find encouragement. This morning, in the name of Jesus, I invite you to come to this altar and find encouragement. Come and let Jesus welcome you as his treasured possession. Come and let Jesus nourish you in your identity as his pearl. Come, and with all God's people, long for the day of full and unending courage by letting Jesus be the subject of the verb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.